Pastor Stevens, who is probably the greatest pastor I have ever heard preach, hands down, make no apologies for it. This is the greatest pastor I've ever heard preach. That man could preach your socks off. I'll put him up against any preacher in history except for maybe Paul. And I'd say he's about close. His first sermon when he was a young preacher was called Spiritual Constipation. You know why? Because a lot of people are. No, really. A lot of people are. You know how you can tell if somebody has spiritual constipation? It's not really hard to tell. They'll take something in, but nothing comes out. They'll listen, but it doesn't produce anything. They listen, but it doesn't produce fruit. They listen, but it doesn't produce life. They listen, but they don't win souls. They are indeed spiritually constipated. If I don't have the life of God being manifested through me, then there is something really, really wrong. I may not be receiving anything, which is entirely possible. That happens a great deal. You know how you can tell if you're receiving something? Has something happened to you lately? No, really. What you hear, you will be tested on. Has something happened to you lately? Has the message that you heard provided you with the tools or the equipment you need in your life to deal with that which has come? Or maybe you get anxious, maybe you get nervous, maybe you get frustrated. If you heard the message and that happens, you're a little bit spiritually backed up. If you haven't heard the message, then maybe you're not producing anything because you haven't received anything. I believe there's a lot of believers like this. A lot of believers walk in a superficial faith where they say, I'm going to act like this. I'm going to be this. Or I'm going to do that. And I'm going to pretend, and my pretense is nothing. It sounds funny, but it's true. You take in, but you don't put anything out. You don't bring any life. Right? Yeah. Have you ever met believers like this, Ryan? I sure have. They sit in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and funny, it's only on Sunday. But they sit in church Sunday after Sunday, and they receive from people talking who aren't actually saying anything. You ever been there? I know I have. Not too often, thank God. They talk and say nothing. You know what a church like that is called? A social club. It's not a church. You know what should be coming from the pulpit? Life. Anointing. Riches from God's Word. Plain and simple. Pastor Stevens could do that. First time I heard that man speak, I was blown away. And I had a good pastor. And I heard that man speak and I was blown away. The anointing that was coming out of there was like a river. I mean, it was a flood. The Word was in such richness, I felt like I just went to a king's feast. That man could preach, boy. A lot of believers settle for the crumbs under the table as though they were a dog. And God says, the feast is on the table. Right? He says, come into my house and eat with me. Have a feast at my table. And people, what do? They don't come. They've got better things to do. They've got better places to go. They don't care if it's the Word of God or not. They've got their thing. They've got what they're into. You know what? People go to places like this and they say to themselves, they need me here. And I will supplement my walk with God because they need me here. You've got some sort of a spiritual vitamin. I'm sorry, there is no such thing. There are no spiritual vitamins. There is the Word of God. There is God's order. There is faith. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing comes by Word of God. How shall they hear unless they have what? A preacher. That word hearing, there is the auditory hearing. People think that by building substance, by building content, that they are building faith. It is not the same thing. Content is content, but I have met a lot of dead people with content. The world knows the Bible, but very few actually know the Word of God. And this is where a lot of people are. I think this is where a lot of young people are, quite frankly. I think this is where a lot of people, young people, do the things they do. Because they are in a place where there is nothing real to grab a hold of. And so they grab a hold of what feels real. But it actually is just an illusion. But because their feelings say, oh, this is, at least I feel alive, I'm going to grab a hold of this. You know what? There's something real that has substance. And unless I'm getting that which is real that has substance, then I'm not getting beans. I may get into my thing. I may find my little niche. I may get nice and religious. Or maybe I'm sick of the religion and I'm sick of the stuff I heard and I'm sick of the hypocrisy. And quite frankly, I don't blame you. I would be too. As a matter of fact, for 3 years, Christians kept me from becoming a Christian. I just didn't like what I saw. I thought they were fools. I thought they were full of it. And I thought they were hypocrites. I thought they were stupid. Why? Because they had no life. They had a lot of pretense. And anybody and their cousin could see it was just a lot of pretense. And I think a lot of young people are just honest enough to admit it. The problem, the mistake that they make is that they think that this is all there is. And there is not. There is reality. There is a real life in the Word of God. There's a real life with God. God gives life and He gives it more abundantly. It comes through His Word. Through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There is no life that is offered anywhere by anything, by anyone, like the life that God offers. If you want a life that has purpose and meaning, not just some sort of a mental self-satisfaction, or, on the other hand, grabbing after air, knowing it's air, but you grab after it anyway because you don't see anything else around, even from the preachers, and God knows that is actually true. Thank God for the ones that are good preachers. But all too many times you hear preachers preach who say absolutely nothing to you. And it doesn't have it has no effect. It has nothing. It's air. This is why people have trouble. Because they've been feasting on air. This morning, get this, this morning for breakfast, I looked at a plate, and then I supplemented it with a cookie. Right? This morning I looked at a plate and I supplemented it with a cookie. This is where a lot of believers are. It's time to come to a feast, they look at a plate, and there's nothing on it. But it's a plate and it's a table, so they'll call it a feast. And then they go home and they're hungry and they supplement it with a cookie. Well, God has a feast. And unless you are feasting from the Word of God, you're selling yourself short. Plain and simple. And by the way, that's not the will of God. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. The Bible says that's not the will of God. You can take it up at the judgment seat of Christ when you get there. I'll stand against anybody with that one. That's not the will of God. The will of God is to have life and life more abundant. That is why Jesus Christ came, to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. He didn't sit an empty plate in front of us. He didn't die so I can claw my way and half starved, half dead, and then excuse it in my mind because I have something that I can get into. He died to give me life more abundantly, and I can know that life in a very practical, real, tangible, non-superficial, actual, factual way that is real life. Is real substance. And it comes from the real Word of God. I don't need to hear some guy standing up there giving me his opinion of what he thinks about Romans or Galatians or Ephesians or anything else. You know what? People talk about the Bible, but the Bible doesn't do too much talking nowadays. Thing I like about Pastor Stevens, he got up there and the Bible spoke, and it spoke out loud. And it brought life. You go to places like India and Mumbai where you got those kids who've been mutilated begging. Their parents have mutilated them to turn them into effective beggars. And you know what? Those kids' lives are being transformed by the Word of God. You get somebody on the street, some homeless person who has like down and out, they're an alcoholic, and the Word of God can come in and they can transform their life. You get a young person who is grasping after straws, grasping after air just because it feels good and nothing else does. The Word of God comes in and it gives them life and it gives them security and it gives them purpose and it gives them a sense of being loved because they are. I need the Word of God and so do you. And anything else that keeps me from the Word of God, you know what? The things that keep me from the Word of God are simply an excuse. And you know what an excuse is? It's a skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. The Word of God says, let the Lord be between me and thee. And that goes between the pulpit and the congregation, between the believer and the believer, between the friend and his friend, between the husband and the wife. Let the Lord be between me and thee. What does that mean? The Lord is the living Word of God. How many of us are getting the living Word of God on a regular basis? Well, I tell you one thing, if you're in this church, and I make no bones about it, and I don't apologize for it. If you're in this church, you do. If you're in any Greater Grace church, you do. And there's a lot of other good churches out there too that do the same thing. We're certainly not the only ones, but we are among them. Too many starving believers. There's two types of people, I've always said, there's two types of people who will never hunger. Those that are starving and those that are dead. Starvation doesn't take long before you stop being hungry. That's why you can starve to death. Those that never hunger are dead or starving. The ones who are well fed are hungering all the time. Why? Because it's life and it's life abundant. And the Word of God, the real, pure, rich, unadulterated, Holy Spirit anointed Word of God coming through a man who's anointed by the Holy Spirit, not because he's anything special, but because it's by grace and grace alone. He has a gift, he has a calling, just like every other believer in the congregation has a gift and a calling. That one just happens to be that gift and calling, and he walks in it. He walks in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God comes richly, and it transforms people's lives. In our church, there's a lot of ladies. God bless them. These poor women at one time were prostitutes. You wouldn't know who they are. Why? Because they're sweet. They're transformed by God's Word. They haven't transformed it by their own doing. They've been transformed by God's Word. And God's Word has made them pure and clean and beautiful. Only God's Word can do that. A person cannot work that up. I cannot work up self-satisfaction. I cannot work up my spirituality. I cannot work up anything. I am dust. I was made of dust. I'm going to return to dust. I am dust. I can't do anything of myself, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can have His life when He imparts His life to me, and He does it through the Word. I like your T-shirt.
Thank you.
You should wear that in school.
I
good. Good job. But isn't it the truth though? Isn't that what it's like out there?
Yeah.
You know what? It's like what it's like in a lot of other places too, not just in schools. You know what reality is? Reality is what God says it is. Because that's the only thing that's never going to pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. My Word will never pass away. That means that all the things of sight, all the things of the hearing, all the things that of the doing, all the things of the lust patterns, all the things of a religious mentality are going to pass away. I find it interesting that in Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus Christ was judging the lost, in the end, in the last day, the white throne judgment of Revelation 22, and it was the religious crowd that dared to talk back to God. And He said to them, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." They said, "Didn't we do many wonderful things in your name? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." When? Never. And never, not once. I never knew you. Depart from me. What did they do? They talked back to Him. "Didn't we do these wonderful things in your name?" God says, "No, you didn't. I don't even know who you are. You might have gotten all fat and religious, But you certainly didn't do anything in my name, because I don't even know who you are. If you did anything in my name, I would have known you. But you didn't do first thing. You got religious, but you didn't do one thing in my name. What happened to them? They went to hell. They never knew him. They never knew him. You know what eternal life is? When you actually know God. When you actually know that you are loved by God. When you actually know that He shed His blood for you, but not in an intellectual capacity, but it becomes the fiber and the substance of who you are. It becomes your identity. That's eternal life. By this we have eternal life, John 17:3, that we know Him. That we know Him. How many believers, God bless them for being believers, but how many of them can say they have eternal life? By the way, the devil believes and trembles. It's not in the belief, it's in faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. How does hearing come? By the Word. How does the Word come? By a preacher. A preacher. These people who think they don't need a preacher, these preachers who don't think they need to preach. Jesus came to do two things. Preach the gospel and win the lost. Same thing, essentially, right? Preach the gospel, win the lost. How many people are out there preaching gospel? How many people are out there winning the lost? Right? Isn't that what He said? I came for this, to preach, right? To seek and save that which was lost. Funny, that's not even the message this morning. Just a thought. But you know what? That's what it's about. Let's like have real life with real Christianity, with real Word of God, with real fellowship, with real Holy Spirit, with something that has actual substance that you can grab a hold of. Something that's actually real. You know what got me saved? I heard a Christian laugh who laughed an honest laugh. Before that, I refused to get saved. And then I finally heard a Christian who laughed like a real person, like a real man. And I said, now this I can do. Why? Because there's a lot of phony out there. I'm sorry, I'm not interested in phony. Jesus wasn't interested in phony. Right? What did He say to them when He gave them a hard saying? What, you guys, hard saying? Fear, go away. And they did. And then the 12 remain. He said, you guys going to go away too? Go ahead. Why? Because He wasn't interested in phony. He was interested in the real deal. He was going to the cross. He had no time for phony. He had no time for pretense. And you know what? Quite frankly, we don't have time for phony or pretense nowadays, except we're blind to the fact. You know what? There's a real heaven. There's a real hell. People are going to both. And Christians are over there playing their little games. I'm sorry, it makes me sick. No, thank you. You can have it if you want it. And I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm sure you are. But you can have it if you want it. I'd rather go for the real deal. I'd rather have a life that actually means something with God. Real Holy Spirit, real leading, real filling, real life. None of this crap that the world offers. And I'm not talking about religion too, because that's just another aspect of the world. It's just another side of the same tree of knowledge of good and evil, the same one that killed. Yeah. I'm sorry if this offends. No, I'm not sorry if this is. I hope this offends. I hope you get good and offended by this. Why? Because you probably need to. If you're getting offended, you need to be offended. Why? Shake things up a little. You think God's not going to shake things up a little? Just watch. God will shake things up a little. God has a darn good way of shaking things up. I don't mind shaking it up a little. Quite frankly, I don't give a hooey what people think or say. I'm a little more afraid of God than I am of anybody in this room or anybody outside this room. Is that something real for a change? Anyway, that's just the thought.